Welcome to Pharma Talk Radio. I'm Valerie Bowling, producer of the show. Pharma Talk Radio is a nonprofit program to disseminate helpful information to those in life sciences, and in particular drug development, and this, of course, always includes patient advocacy communities. When I'm not working with Pharma Talk Radio, I head up content and direction at the Conference Forum. For information on event listings and radio listings, please visit www.theconferenceforum.org. Today's radio program is the recording from a session from the Immuno-Oncology 360 2017 event on the increasingly critical role of predictive clinical biomarkers in cancer immunotherapy. And delivering this presentation is the Chief Medical Officer at NanoString Technologies, Dr. Alessandra Sassano.
I actually took the liberty to modify a little bit the title and just putting it into the context in which the increasing role of predicting clinical biomarker that I will discuss is in the context of the risk in immunotherapy drug development. Really, what I would like to do in the next 15-20 minutes, 1938, is really to start by creating the context really of the challenges that immuno-oncology drug development is facing at the moment, and touching on the role of predictive biomarker, the one established and the one that they are soon to be to come, as well as candidate under consideration. And really, this will be like an introduction to what I would like to spend the last 10 minutes of the talk, that is about our vision of really using biomarker to reclassify, if you want, tumors, not using cell of origin or even a genetic under common genetic underpinning, but integrating the immunological component on that in order to guide the clinical decision making. So if we take a very high-level view of where the field is, and this is a field extremely rapidly evolving, so we are really talking about the first approval with EP in 2011, and here we are in 2016 with having, you know, four checkpoint inhibitor approved in, you know, the EP, and the three different anti PD-1, PD-L1 pathway inhibitor. And if we are really looking at their development, that has been mostly a single agent, with the exception of melanoma for EP and Nivo, and testing it in late stage of the disease. And really having you know, from a regulatory point of view, wide use of accelerated approval and getting a lot of breakthrough designation through that because of the indication they were chosen or because of the biomarker strategy that specifically was chosen, like in the case of Merck with the use of the PD-L1 in non-small cell lung cancer. Well, another thing that emerged during this period of time is a new class of biomarker that is not the classic companion diagnostic, but the complementary diagnostic that is really, I would say, the symptom, or I should say the consequence of the fact that the biomarker that we had don't have a very good negative predictive value, and so can really be used for excluding patients from this late stage of therapy, but actually for enriching. So this is really where we are today. Where tomorrow is going, we are actually looking at a tsunami of other, you know, approval, and part are with the same inhibitor. They're now moving an early line of treatment, and they can do that as a single agent in selective population, as has been shown again by Merck, that is, I would say, leading this kind of strategies in first-line non-small cell lung cancer, as well as in combination with standard therapy. There are also new anti-PD-1 and PD-L1. A speaker before has indicated how many of them. I wasn't even aware there were so many. And so they will enter slowly, using right now strategy of going in NTAP indication, like Merkel carcinoma is an example of. But we have a lot of other better immunomodulatory agents based on our better understanding of the immune system that are going to enter. And some of them will try to enter a single agent, the majority will try to enter in combination. And so really understanding the mechanism of action of both these agents as well as the mechanism of resistance to the current approved agent will be fundamental for, designing a rational combination, as was said earlier. So really, the strategic, challenge in immune oncology, span the continuum of the drug development from the preclinical research to the early clinical development into the late. And really, at the level of preclinical research, I think that target identification and the understanding the mechanism of action are important questions, while in the early clinical development, validation of this mechanism of action, as well as understanding if there is a need for a selection of a population in a particular indication become important. So if we have to look today, in my opinion, what are the development specifically applied to the anti-PD-1 and PD-L1 inhibitor, for monotherapy is clearly durable response, but in a small subset. And so the patient identification optimization is an important one, but that means also understanding the mechanism of resistance, because this will be the population of tomorrow. With the drugs that we have right now, a lot of patients are going to be treated in an unselected form, and there will be a lot of resistance. What do we do with this patient? Is this an opportunity to actually change, using biomarker, I would say, a biomarker from selecting a target population to really telling you how to increase the market. And that is true for the combination. One of the other limitations of the field is really that until now, we don't really have very good biomarker. And I think that the PD-L1 immunohistochemistry has been, good enough and definitely had a role for particularly approaches, including, for instance, identify a population that can benefit for single agent in the non-small cell lung cancer setting. However, it has important limitation both as biologically, because it's one analyte, and so is really for trying to monitor a complex dynamic, so it's a low negative predictive value, for technical, because they are different antibody, different platform, different scoring system, and is also a semi-quantitative assay, so it's an intrinsic liability, if you want, or lack of robustness. And the number of PD-L1 assay right now that have been developed with the idea of one drug, one assay, have been very drug-centric, and so has resulted in a field in which we have, for instance, three different drugs that are approved for on the pathway PD-1 and PD-L1 for second-line non-small cell lung cancer. I took the tables here from the label just to show that really at a very high level we can compare them because they have different kind of population, including for the Keytruda selection of patients for expression more than 1%. But generally speaking, if you look at the control arm, really they look similar effect. However, they use three different PD-L1 immunohistochemistry. They have it in the label, and Keytruda as it is a companion diagnostic, white centric, and Optivo as a complementary diagnostic, really based on the design of the study, really not based on the activity of the drug. And then when we moved this, and I'm talking about the importance of having a biomarker, we have seen this year this data being presented at ESMO, when we move the same drug in the first line setting in non-small cell lung cancer, the design of the trial, and in particularly the selection of a particular selected population, resulted in totally different outcome. And so that's really and that was the title of the press release from ESMO, really call for improved design and biomarker selection. So the PD-L1 was, of course, the first protein base because it makes a lot of sense. It's based on the mechanism of action of the anti-PD-1 and anti-PD-L1. However, there are other analytes that we can essentially use, and another one is DNA, and this is another example in which an astute use of biomarker that derive from research and understanding of the biology results really in important clinical outcome. I'm talking about the mutational load, in particularly of the microsatellite instability that is a genomic scarring that comes from alteration in mixed match repair gene. And that is really not very common. However, in the patient, for which is common, is a surrogate, if you want, of tumor neoantigens. And so it's shown to really be a very good selector, probably better than definitely the PD-L1 immunohistochemistry for patients that have a high response of Keytruda. And their Keytruda, actually, I mean, from the press release, this data have been filed, and there is an expectation of having an approval, or anyway, a PDUFA date for March 7. What is important in this particular case that this biomarker is really above the, is independent from the cell of origin. It's really based on different tumor types that have the same characteristic. So the third analyte is really gene expression profiling. We know from the original work of Tom Gajewski that you can look at gene expression and find signature that essentially correlate with the presence of tumor inflammation, and the data observed, presented recently also showed that there is no correlation between the tumor inflamed phenotypes as measured by gene expression profiling and the tumor mutational load. And so indicating that they are providing different, maybe complementary information. So Merck, again, invest a lot on this particular kind of biomarker and embrace looking at gene expression profiling early on using the NanoString platform use digital barcoding for gene expression profiling, no amplification, and as really an intrinsic robustness because a lack of enzymology. And they essentially embark in a research of biomarker measuring different gene expression profiling correlated with clinical outcome, and through a series of blinded training and testing on different tumor type, they develop a series of prototype biomarkers based on gene expression, of which one, the interferon gamma gene expression classifier, was actually presented at ASCO and show really to have at least in that particular kind of hypothesis generating setting superior activity in the head and neck cancer shown here compared to actually the PD-L1 measured by their PD-L1 assay. Merck entered in collaboration with NanoString, and in collaboration, actually the goal was to take this prototype signature and optimize them so that to generate one single assay that can be working above different tumor types and being able to enrich for patients that could respond to single agent Keytruda. And so this exercise essentially went through using, biomarker tools and bioinformatic tool like penalized regression model, using really 220, a set of 220 tumor samples that were coming from different tumor types, and then was externally validating for the performance. And so what came out is actually what we call the tumor inflammation signature, that is a 28 gene expression signature that include 10 housekeeper gene and a series of gene that, as you can see, they are mapping different kind of biology that is actually biology relating to the pre-existing of adapting immune response that is peripherally suppressed, include the classic suspect in the interferon gamma biology, but add marker of T-cell exhaustion as well as a natural killer cell, and as well as antigen presentation. And a lot of these are under this gene, are actually under the interferon gamma biology, but not all of them. As shown by essentially this graph, they show the score, the antigen, the score of the algorithm versus the different tumor type. Really, this tumor inflammation signature measured the biology of immune biology and not the biology of the tumor in terms of cell of origin. As you can see, you can find tumors that from the same tumor type that belongs both to the cold blue side versus the hot blue side. And really, because the tumor inflammation signature is looking at tumor inflammation that is downstream on having antigen, and so the mutational load, and having an efficient presentation of this antigen to the immune system and the trafficking and infiltration in the tissue, really is closer to the mechanism of action of anti-PD-1 and PD-L1. And so it's essentially capturing at least theoretically, the mutational load and some essentially integrate some of the step and the biomarker, and we are in the process of actually proving that. So we develop the assay as a clinical trial assay. So this is for planning of integrating together with Merck in multiple clinical trials that are essentially ongoing at the moment. The signature, because was maintained, derived from a platform that then was transitioned from the transitional research component of it to the clinical, is really extremely robust, and so didn't really require any optimization, and is highly reproducible. And that is really intrinsic to, the technology platform that the nCounter is actually using. The tumor inflammation signature is a good start, okay, but it's just the beginning, because we know that there is more in the interaction between the immune system and the cancer. The cancer has a role also, and so it's important to really integrate in different biomarkers, or I should say different biology, in order to get a full picture of what's going on at the level of the single patient. And this concept of really integrating different parameter and biomarker was launched last year by Christian Blank from the Netherlands Cancer Institute in a paper on Science under the form of a cancer immunogram, in which he has integrated what we have today, but has been also used by Genentech. In this picture is taken from the Lancet paper of the Atezo, and was presented or mentioned before by Dr. Edge, and really here is showing an integration of PD-L1 and the subtype as measured by gene expression profiling, subtype intrinsic of the tumor biology, as well as the mutational load, and showing that when you combine essentially three different analytes, if you want, in this particular case, measure on three different technology platforms, but there is the possibility of essentially using, for instance, the NanoString platform to measure everything on one single platform, you really get an important increase on that. And so this brings me to essentially my last slide, that is essentially our vision, what I mentioned before, that is the tumor inflammation signature is the first step, is essentially the one that allowed us to divide the tumor, not microscopically by looking at the immune desert, if you want, or tumor infiltration, but really looking at doing it molecularly to separate the tumor in tumor that do have a TSM the inflamed signature or they don't have it. But then we need more. We need an additional layer of biology to really dissect the additional mechanism of immunosuppression if they exist. And so we need really to understand in the hot, in the red part there, if PD-1, PD-L1 is the only pathway that is inhibiting peripherally, or if there are other tumor microenvironment suppression mechanisms that could include other inhibitor receptor, as well as cells like myeloid-derived suppressor cells or Treg. On the other side, I think it's very important to really dissect the non-T cell inflamed tumor, because with the next layer of biology, is there any trafficking of tumor cell to the tumor or not? So is it a defect in T cell trafficking, or is it a defect in priming? Because really the reason for a defect in trafficking of the tumor could be very different, could be also a tumor related in terms of oncogenic pathway, while a failed T cell priming will require a completely different kind of approach. And so my last slide is really say, toward this particular vision, what we are working is to create what we call the universal IO assay, for a lack of a better word, but really what it is to create a tool that allowed to an actionable immune-based classification of cancer, that really at the core has the tumor inflammation signature, but contain additional layers of biology that will allow in a decision tree manner to really peel out the onions of immunosuppression that was essentially discussed this morning by the chair. And this tool is actually being generated, actually not just theoretically or in silico, is a code set that exists. And we have curated through internal research using the TCGA database. And we are now working with both academic collaboration to really explore the specific pathway of resistant mechanism, as well as with biopharma, then to really that they have a pipeline of the new generation of immune oncology, really to prove the analytical validity of this pathway. So my time is up, and I will stop here with this vision toward which we are moving. Thank you.
The annual Immuno-Oncology 360 Conference takes a unique approach where we bridge the business, clinical, and scientific aspects of immuno-oncology to provide a genuine 360-degree perspective within one event. For more information, visit theconferenceforum.org. Thanks for listening.